From deep in the bayous located near the Gulf of Mexico, welcome to the SwampSwami.com audio podcast, starring the man whose unique sports insights will make you think and hopefully make you laugh at times too.
The great sage, seer, soothsayer, famous mystic, and former tax advisor to Governor Reagan.
And now, the one, the only, here's Swamp Swami. Time to review this weekend's winners by a nose. We just had another fantastic sports weekend. In case you were busy with yard work or partaking in other springtime activities, let's get you caught up on the weekend's biggest sports news. First, Mystic Dan slides into second in the Preakness. In horse racing, the second leg of Thoroughbred Racing's annual Triple Crown was held on Saturday in Baltimore at the Pimlico Racetrack with the Preakness Stakes. As you might remember from 2 weeks ago, the trainer of Mystic Dan, the winner of the Kentucky Derby, said that he was going to let his horse tell him whether he was ready to run. Well, apparently Mystic Dan gave his okay, and though he tried valiantly, Mystic Dan came up just a little bit short in second place at the Preakness Saturday. His trainer, though, was still amazed by the Kentucky Derby winning horse. He said, quote, "My colt's a fantastic colt, and I'm proud of him. It just wasn't his day, but he'll live to race again." Live to race again? Watch out, Mystic Dan. If your trainer is inferring a trip to the glue factory might be in your future, perhaps you should communicate to your trainer that you are considering following in the footsteps, hoofprints, of TV's iconic Mr. Ed and taking up baseball next.
I'll show them who's the brains of this outfit.
Well, Leo, I hope you win those three games in your home stand.
Why, we're a cinch, thanks to... What's all this clowning around here, John? You know we got a big game tonight.
Ignore my horse. He's just a show-off.
It was the horse's idea, Leo. We look around, and there he is with a bat in his mouth.
It'll make a great publicity shot, Leo.
Yeah, not bad. Say, is it okay if Sandy tosses one to him nice and easy?
Yeah. Ed wants to make a fool of himself. It's okay with me.
All right. Sandy, nice and easy, huh, buddy? That's the smartest horse I ever saw.
Oh, he's not so smart. He forgot to touch second base.
Golf's PGA Championship, though, was better than a horse race, including a photo finish. PGA Tour golfer Xander Schauffele is just 30 years old, and he's won 7 PGA tournament events already coming into last weekend. However, he struggled at times to win some tournaments when holding the lead entering the final round. A regular finisher in the top 10 on the PGA Tour, Schauffele was considered by many to be one of the best players without a major title. Just last week at Charlotte in the Wells Fargo Championship, Xander Schauffele held a 2-shot lead over Rory McIlroy as they took to the course for the final round, and Rory zoomed right past Xander with a closing round 6-under par 65, while Schauffele faded to a 71 and finished a distant second place. Last Thursday, at the PGA Championship in Louisville, though, it was Xander Schauffele once again racing out of the starting gate like horse racing's Mystic Dan, with his record-tying opening round of 9-under par 62. And he was still in the lead at 15-under par as they started Sunday's final round. But then it all came down to the 18th hole on Sunday afternoon. Playing just ahead of the leader, LIV Golf's long-driving Bryson DeChambeau and Norway's Victor Hovland put on an incredible show of low-scoring golf Sunday to put some serious heat onto the leader. Both players were 5-under par on their final round coming into the par 5 18th hole, just 1 shot behind Xander Schauffele. DeChambeau's birdie putt on the 18th hole fell into the cup in slow motion, but it made it and moved him to 20-under par, a score which would have been good enough to win most major golf tournaments. And with that birdie, DeChambeau moved into a tie for the lead. Victor Hovland unfortunately 3-putted the final hole and finished in third place alone. Then standing on the 18th tee, now tied with DeChambeau, the 2020 U.S. Open champion, Xander Schauffele hit his drive on the final hole, and it landed about 1 foot short of a fairway sand trap. In order to hit his second shot, he had to place his feet down into the adjacent bunker. He took a big swing and a big risk, but was able to land the golf ball about 30 yards short of the green. From there, Xander Schauffele pitched his third shot within 6 feet of the hole and then rolled in a birdie putt to capture a one-shot victory and his first major golf championship. Xander Schauffele's 21-under-par final score at the PGA Championship established a new all-time record-low score in a men's major golf tournament. With the strong second-place finish, 30-year-old Bryson DeChambeau's emotional bond with the massive crowds in Kentucky seems to have transferred the LIV golfer into a true fan favorite by the end of the weekend. DeChambeau, who's otherwise known as the scientist on tour, as the SMU physics major is always looking for an edge on the golf course, later said that he was very grateful for the crowd support. He confessed that he's gained some personal maturity over the past few years. Quote, "When I was younger, I didn't understand what it was. Yeah, I'd have some great celebrations and whatnot, but I didn't know what it meant and what I was doing it necessarily for. Now I'm doing it a little bit more for the fans and for the people around and trying to be a bit of an entertainer that plays good golf every once in a while." Now to the NBA, where the home court is becoming a disadvantage. On Sunday, two Game 7s were played to determine second-round playoff winners. The New York Knicks and the defending champions of the NBA, the Denver Nuggets, were playing on their home court in their series finales. And for decades, the home team in an NBA Game 7 playoff game usually prevails as the home crowd vocally propels them on to play great and victory. Not so, though, in today's NBA. During the Sunday afternoon Eastern Conference semifinal finale, the number 6 seed Indiana Pacers should have renamed themselves the Indiana Fire because that team shot an NBA playoff record 67.1% from the field to eliminate the hometown New York Knickerbockers 130-109 and send the Madison Square Garden fans home very unhappy. Indiana won the series 4-3. New York was already shorthanded with several injuries coming into this game and then lost their leading scorer, Jalen Brunson, with a broken left hand suffered in Sunday's third quarter. Ouch. The Fire, the Indiana Pacers,
not so fast,
will now advance to play the top seed in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Boston Celtics dispatched Cleveland 4-1 in their series and have been resting since last Wednesday. Boston will have the home court advantage, or is it one, in the Eastern Conference Finals against Indiana. Game number 1 in Boston is Tuesday night, tonight, at 7 p.m. Central on ESPN. Unfortunately for Boston's NBA basketball team, the Celtics have been playing much better on the road than at home during the playoffs over the last few years. With a stellar 25-12 record on the road, the C's are just 19-20 at home in TD Garden in Boston over the past 5 seasons. Perhaps they might consider moving their home playoff games to a neutral court. The other NBA Game 7 was played on Sunday night in Denver, and that home court did not help the defending NBA champion Nuggets in the Western Conference semifinals against the Minnesota Timberwolves either. After Denver pulled away to a 20-point advantage early in the third quarter Sunday night against Minnesota, the Nuggets looked like they ran out of gas. The Timberwolves then found their shooting touch to outscore Denver 54-24 from that point on to grab a 10-point advantage late into the fourth quarter. Denver scored a measly 37 points at home during the second half of Sunday's Game 7 collapse. Overcoming the largest halftime deficit, 15 points, in an NBA Game 7 playoff history, the Minnesota T-Wolves howled with joy following their 98-90 comeback victory. The team now advances into the Western Conference Finals for just the second time in the T-Wolves' 35-year history. The number 2 West seed Minnesota will host the surprising number 5 seed Dallas Mavericks this Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Time on TNT. And finally, Caitlin Clark is the WNBA's gold mine.
Woo-hoo!
For Caitlin Clark basketball fans, there was some good news and bad news this past week. First, the good news. The WNBA's Indiana Fever, whom Clark plays for, and the New York Liberty established the highest regular season game ticket revenue in league history on Saturday afternoon. A Brooklyn crowd of 17,735 fans spent more than $2 million for their game tickets to watch the former Iowa Hawkeyes basketball star score 22 points in a 91-80 loss. Earlier that same week, ESPN2 featured the first regular season televised game for Caitlin Clark and her Indiana Fever women's basketball team. That game established a new record for WNBA's regular season games on cable television with more than 2 million television viewers. As further proof of Caitlin Clark's personal popularity, the second game of ESPN2's opening night doubleheader saw their viewership drop all the way to 460,000. Now for the bad news, though. Caitlin Clark injured her ankle in Monday night's 88-84 home loss to the Connecticut Sun and had to be helped off the floor by her teammates and into the locker room. She did return to the game, though, in the third quarter and finished with 17 points, as Indiana's record, though, dropped to 0-4. The WNBA's executives breathed a collective sigh of relief, as Clark's ankle injury was not as serious as it might have first appeared. Regardless of how many games her Indiana Fever team loses this year, you should count on getting at least a weekly dose of the Caitlin Clark Show on ESPN for the remainder of this summer. As my friend the Godfather used to say, it's good for business. I'm Swamp Swami.